Thank you, Mr. West. Tunnel. All right. Appreciate that. Get us into the mood to sing song and then get into the study of the Word of God. Hundreds are coming forward. And all right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And let's see. I told James, let's get some singing, but my goodness, we're going to be singing till 9 o'clock if we just sing everything you got here. And so let's see here. Let's see. Let's sing the first page. Okay? Right. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit who is the true teacher. Let's talk about our prayer request. We want to be in prayer for Thomas. Always be in prayer for his continual strength and improvement of his health. Just a wonderful, wonderful miracle that God is doing. Let's be in prayer for Lily as she recovers from her surgeries. And let's see, any other prayer requests? Yes, Kit. Ah, very good. Very good. Good. Ah, yeah. Yes, you bet. Ooh. And what's interesting is that even in the ceasefire, they're still firing.
Oh, absolutely. And did you see
them whack
that
bus? Yep, yep. No, I didn't see that. Now, for me, what's interesting is when the Hamas killed what they accused of being spies, they didn't just kill them, though. They spit on them, stomped them, and killed them violently, all five of them. Yeah, dragged through the streets. Can't put up with that. America puts up with it, obviously, but a country shouldn't put up with that. Man. Yeah. Oh. Well, I tell you what, on that same motif, before we get into prayer, look at Zephaniah. This is really interesting. Zephaniah. Got Malachi, Zechariah, Zephaniah, going from the Old Testament backward. And look at Zephaniah chapter 2. Kit, now we're talking about this Sunday, and this is powerful. Now think of what's going on in the cities that are involved right now today. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have carried out His ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek humility, which means faith. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Now here's the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza will be abandoned, Ascalon a desolation, Ashdod, which is there today, will be driven out at noon, Ekron will be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the entire seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites, the word of the Lord is against you. O Canaan, land of the Philistines, and I will destroy you, so that there will be no inhabitant. So the seacoast will be pastures, with caves and for shepherds, folds for flocks. So this is things that's coming up in the day of the anger of the Lord, Lord's anger. Don't know when that is. But it's really interesting, the cities that are named, places that are in the news right now today in our newspapers. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we give thanks to you every day. But our nation has developed a day once a month, once a year, that we call Thanksgiving. It was initially designed, Thanksgiving, for our great free country. Thankful to you for the establishment of this country, but we no longer believe that as a nation. But Father, we are so thankful that you are in control of all history. No matter what is going on, what man plots in his agendas, like Agenda 21, all the things that are going on, our God is in control. And therein is our peace, our stability, and our joy. And now, Father, tonight we pray you'll be with us, guide us as we go through this text. Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, let's sing, James.
Play through the first one.
Victory is won. Oh, thank you.
what we're going to do this Thanksgiving Eve is we're going to apply a principle from love to Thanksgiving. So let's start out looking at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Now we're going to start our reading in verse 16. We're going to concentrate on verse 18, but I can't be this close to 16 and not read it. 1 John 3, 16. We know love by this. Now, remember that love is something that cannot be defined. When you try to define love, it's like defining God. You confine it by your definition. If you try to define God, you confine Him to your definition. If you try to define love, you confine love to that definition. But love is a force and is defined by description. It's like gravity. Cannot define gravity. We describe gravity, we don't define it. So the same thing is with love. So we're not going to find a definition here, we're going to find a description. We know love by this, that He, Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us. Now this refers to the spiritual death of Christ for us. Now we come to an application of that love. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And when I did a spiritual love study first and talked about love one another as I have loved you, one another the same kind, we're to love other believers. And I had a lot of people come, well, wait a minute, what about the unbeliever? Aren't we supposed to love the unbeliever? It's easy to love an unbeliever. We don't expect anything out of them. But when a believer lets us down, when a believer offends us, when a believer sins, that upsets us. So it's more difficult. But so the new commandment of John 13 is to love one another as I have loved you. How did He love us? By laying down His life for us while we were His enemies. We are to lay down our lives for one another, for the brethren. Now, let me quickly add, this doesn't mean your physical life. If that's what it meant, we could only obey this command one time, and that'd be it. Well, I think I'll save my laying down my life to a little later. No, this means laying down the priorities of your life, laying down the finance, the priorities, all these things for the brethren if it's in the spiritual realm. Now, verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother, believer, in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? The first characteristic of spiritual love, or any love really, but of spiritual love, is observation. Love observes. A husband observes the wife. The wife observes the husband. People, they deserve their friends, relatives, this type of thing. Love observes. And then love meets that need. So here, if you observe a fellow believer in need and just say, well, I'll pray for you, brother, and walk off, the love of God is not in you. Now we move to verse 18, which is where we want to draw our study tonight. Little children. And we're not here to spend hours on this. We're just going to spend a minute or two on verse 18. And the little children, basically it refers to those who have not grown in doctrine. Those who do not know the Word of God. They have not invested enough time under the teaching of the Word of God, so they're still children. Let us not love with word or with tongue. That means let us not love in the flesh. This is the way most people love. Give thanks by words. This is the way they love. This is the way they think. By words and words only. Unfortunately, people are impressed with the tongue. As in the tongues movement. Speaking in tongues. Well, this is a different type of speaking in tongues, but it's the same principle. People are impressed with the tongues movement. People are impressed with paying tongue service, giving tongue thanksgiving, tongue love. And people are impressed with either type of tongues. They are impressed with speaking in tongues, and many are impressed with expressing love and thanksgiving merely with tongue. Now, Little children, let us not love with tongue, with word or tongue, or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Well, let me just start off. You know what truth is? What truth refers to? Not a lie. That's the first thing it refers to. Not a lie. Opposite of truth is a lie. And many people express love and express thanksgiving, and it's a lie. That is why it is by tongue only. You get closer to the truth of love and thanksgiving by its stages. Now, I'm not going to start with inside the soul because that's sort of the whole point here. So the first stage is the expression with the tongue. I love you. You're wonderful. Multitude of type of things. Thank you, and all these type of things. Multitudes express love and thanksgiving with words. And thanksgiving with words. And this is just a day, and they're impressed with it. Many people are impressed with words. And especially young girls in the back seat of a car, they're impressed with words like I love you. Or legalistic Christians, they're impressed with words anytime, anywhere. They're really impressed with their words. Then comes the next stage. That's the action stage. Deed. Now you can tell a lot more about love and thanksgiving by deeds. By action. Are these the deeds of love? Are these the actions of spiritual love? Are these the actions of real thanksgiving? So therefore, you've got that idea of the deed. But people, you cannot even be sure by the deeds. You cannot be sure by deeds or by actions alone. Therefore, and truth. And your text, it says, but indeed and truth. Now this is one you can never be completely sure about from another member of the human race, but God can, and God is. Now what does the truth refer to? The truth refers to the power of God the Holy Spirit. That's the only deed that God is impressed with, that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And to show you that, look at 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. And let's look together at verse 7. 1 John 5, 7. And it is the Holy Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So John answers our question for us. Now let's go back to 3:18. But indeed and truth. That means in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now here is where the real or true love, the real or true thanksgiving comes. From the power and leading of God the Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer. You give a list of thanksgiving to God. You got a number of things to be thankful to God for. And one of those is our salvation. Another is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we're to love and give thanksgiving in deed and in truth. That is, in the power of the Spirit. Now with that in mind, let's concentrate on one thing to give thanks for to God this year. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. There's so many things that we can be thankful for, but let's take a look at it in context of Thanksgiving here. And you'll see why I started off with the 1 John 3 in a moment. Therefore, this comes off of the previous verse, which is historically packed. But tonight, let's just note in verse 27, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now I'm going to tell you something, people. I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight, just on Thanksgiving. A lot of people will give a lot of Thanksgiving for their things. and that's fine. But I want to tell you something. Things are not always going to be here. Things can be shaken and will be shaken and are shaken through history. Now, this is an alarming declaration about where we're going to be after death, into eternity. Are you sure of where you're going to be after death? Are you sure where you're going to be into eternity? Are you sure of the stability of you being there? That's what this verse is going to concentrate on. Therefore, since we receive, now it's a present active participle and can be translated receiving, therefore since receiving. But we will look at the verb to receive, but before we look at it, note that word we, it's a little word, speed readers pass right over it. This refers to believers. This refers to us, I think everyone here tonight, believers in Jesus Christ. This belongs to us now. Now the present active participle of the verb translated to receive, paralamano. People, this is a strong verb to receive. And I'm going to give you some things right out of a lexicon. These aren't made up so they would be impressive here. It means to receive to oneself, to take near, to take or to receive to oneself. Now, what is this talking about? And what's going on in this text? This is what we want to ask. It is based on the fact of receiving something. Let me give you an idea. Tomorrow, someone prepares a nice meal. And they generally speaking, for Thanksgiving, so somebody prepares a nice meal. You take it for yourself. This is about as personal as you can get. You eat it. It's set there for you. Unless you got four or five brothers who have got their hands on it before you even get to it. But normally, it's set in front of you. It's yours. And you're going to partake of it. See? Well, that's the idea behind this verb. It describes something that God has given to you for yourself. It is designed for you. Christmas is coming up. Maybe someone will purchase a gift and give to you. It's designed for you. You take it for yourself. So we learn to give thanks at Christmas time coming up. Two perfect examples of this word, Thanksgiving and Christmas. This verb describes our receiving something to and for ourselves. The present active participle denotes receiving the thing that is prepared for you personally. Now, let's talk about Christmas a little bit. God the Father sent to us His Son for each one of us. There's a line in the communion service that I love. It's my body, which is for you. It's for you personally. It's not for a corporate. It's for you personally. Give my body on the tree for you personally. People, that's a powerful impact. When you realize it, the Christ on the cross, that's for you personally. God the Father has designed this Christmas gift of His Son for our need at that time. And He has prepared for us many other wonderful gifts, but we're just looking at the cross work of Christ. But now let's get to context. Let's see what we have going on in context here. That has been prepared for us, which we receive. Now what do we receive? Therefore, we receiving a kingdom. Present active participle shows this is going on through the whole entire church age. Receiving a kingdom. This is such a magnificent concept that every Christian ought to grab hold of. And I'll be honest with you, until we started studying the kingdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, and then going to this one, I have not been that conscious throughout my life of thanking Him for the kingdom. But I will now. After our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 on the kingdom, and then a verse like this that we're not even nearly through with, and what we ought to be doing about it, but we are receiving a kingdom. And this is something we ought to grab hold of in our thanksgiving. Now, we talk about salvation. We talk about eternal life. We talk about eternal security. But how often do you think and speak and pray in regard to receiving a kingdom? A kingdom. No, I thank you for my car. I thank you for my house. I thank you for my clothes. I thank you for the things I own. I thank you for this. I thank you for that. People, we're receiving a kingdom. And we're going to see something special about this kingdom in this passage. So, this becomes extremely important. Now, we've seen on Sunday morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, there are many kingdoms in the Word of God. But this one is the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom designed for the church. This kingdom is just one of those wonderful things that God has designed for us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 a moment. Not chapter 4, but chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. Another one of those powerful jewels in the Word of God. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, has not even entered the heart of man, even in the imagination of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. This kingdom is one of those wonderful things that God has prepared for us, people. We need to give thanks to Him for it. It's just one of the many wonderful things, and we should give thanks and show gratitude for it in our lives. Now, always asking and wondering, I'm always asking people, what's heaven going to be like? What's heaven like? Are we going to be married to the one we're married to here on earth? To some people, that'd be a blessing. To some people, they'd rather not go. See? And so they have a lot of problems with this. Well, Jesus Christ answered that one. You people are so unstable. Some of you will marry two or three times. It would be so confusing in heaven. So no, there's no marriage in heaven. No marriage at all. That's over with. Answered that one. It's over with. Well, but, okay, I'll handle that, but will we recognize each other? I'm asked that a lot. Will we remember unbelievers in heaven who did not believe in Jesus Christ? Will we eat? What will we be doing? And on and on and on. I want to tell you something. Many of those questions are not answered in Scripture. Some of them are implied, thought about, but they're not directly answered in Scripture. But I can tell you one thing. Based on Scripture, you are receiving a kingdom that will be forever. You will be in a kingdom. Forget about holding on to things here on earth. You're going to be in a kingdom forever and ever. We will live in a kingdom, a fabulous kingdom designed by God and inhabited by God, where Jesus Christ is the King Priest. This is an eternal kingdom. This is what every one of us had to look forward to. Why anyone is afraid of death is beyond me. Why we struggle to hold on to things on earth that are material, that are not going to be unshakable. They're going to be shakable. They're going to be gone. When what we have just on the other side of death is an eternal kingdom that will be in physically in the resurrection. We're in it now. It's yours now. But we don't live in it right now. We're in the flesh. We're in the flesh. So, this is what each one of us have to look forward to. Stop stressing yourself about things on earth. They are temporary. Look at the next phrase. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Thank you, Father, for that. Right there. It cannot be shaken. This comes off of the previous verse, where things that are created can be shaken. People, I don't know why we're holding on to things here on earth and become so stressed. Stress, anxiety, depression about things that all of them are going to be shaken, taken away. This word shaken is an adjective. descriptive adjective. It has the alpha negative, the primitive negative in front of it, which means not or without. And then the word saluo means to agitate, move, shake. Therefore, with the negative, not shaken, unshakable, immovable, enduring. We have an unshakable, eternal kingdom. Now, let's go back to verse 26. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. That means it's going to be gone. That's why Revelation talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain forever. Verse 28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Do you see it? You see what's going on in this passage? Things on the earth that we're holding on to, they're going to be gone. Homes, cars, things, going to be gone. People spend their lives accumulating things, and then they try to hold on to them. They live in fear of losing them. We insure them, we secure them, and then we worry about the government, economics, natural things, flood, fires, all these things taking them. People, they're shakable. Just understand that. We as Christians should be able to enjoy things if we have them, and enjoy life if we don't. Because we of all people should know, these are just things. These are things. They're not anything really of great issue. They're shakable. They're going to be removed. And if you do enough understanding of what's happening in the world today, and I mean not just Obama, I'm talking about Agenda 21 from the UN and all these things that are going on. People, they're planning. They are planning tonight to take your things. This is not just pie-in-the-sky stuff. This is going on right now. They're shakable. Don't worry about it. Don't get all upset about it. God is in control. God has not promised us these things for eternity, but he has promised a kingdom that will not be shaken, cannot be shaken. And it's yours. It's yours for eternity. Now, if you understand that, and if you appreciate that, what should be our response? Okay, let's see what it says. Let us show gratitude. Now, I don't have time to develop the whole passage. We could spend about 3 or 4 hours on this verse, but let's just kind of see if we can put it together quickly. Let us show gratitude. You see why I went to the 1 John passage? You love not with tongue and word, but in deed and truth. And a lot of times people just show gratitude with tongue. Let's show what it says now. Show gratitude. As common as this is to our lives, it's amazing how few Christians really know about gratitude. Now, the King James says, let us have grace. The NIV says, let us be thankful. The NASB says, let us show gratitude. We have the present active subjunctive of echo, which means to have and to possess. Now, what we're having and possessing is showing gratitude. That's why it's in the subjunctive mood. Maybe you'll show gratitude, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll say thank you, Lord, on the way, but that's about it. This isn't mouth gratitude, as I'll show you. This is action. This is indeed. Therefore, gratefulness, gratitude, or thankfulness. Now, people, we understand about being thankful. Ephesians 5:20, always give thanks to God for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even our Father. We know that. This goes a step further. That should be our attitude every day, all day long. Thank you. I tell people that if you give thanks to God every day for your husband, for your wife, for your children, for the church, whatever you constantly give thanks for, you will value. You will value. If you don't give thanks for it, you'll just take it for granted and move on. But if you constantly give thanks for something, you value it. You constantly give thanks for the church, you will value that church. If you don't, wherever you go to church is fine. So this is a very powerful concept of daily thanksgiving. But now let's look at chapter 12, verse 28 of Hebrews. Let us be thankful, or let us constantly show gratitude, response to grace received. But note that subjunctive mood. The present tense is constantly, all the time, showing gratitude in our lives. The active voice, maybe you will, maybe you won't, but it's you that has to do it. It has to be in your attitude. You're walking with the Holy Spirit. But look at that subjunctive mood. This is powerful. Because, as we're going to see, this is much more than just saying thank you. And whether or not you do depends on a lot of things. It depends on several things, whether or not you will show gratitude. Let us constantly be thankful or show gratitude. Now, why does the New American Standard insert that word show? If you look in the margin, they have the word have. And they inserted show because of the next line. Now, let me read it for you. The NASB says, by which we may offer to God. The King James, whereby we may serve God. That's closer to the real word. The NIV, so worship God. So, if we take the NASB, that we may offer to God, we could still kind of stay with that as being verbal. But the King James, whereby we may serve God, is closer to the Greek word. And the NIV, worship God, worship being whatever we do in life. We may offer to God, we may serve God, we may worship God. The important thing here is the principle why we went to 1 John chapter 3 first. Not love with tongue and deed, but with deed and truth. Not show thanksgiving by tongue, but, if you want to use the same wording of 1 John, by deed and truth. And look what it says, by which we offer, may offer to God. Okay, we have a lot of subjunctives in this verse. And subjunctives are very mood. Very important. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Maybe you will have a continual attitude of gratitude of serving Him. Maybe you won't. Which we may offer to God. Many people won't. It's just all about me getting more and more and more. It's not about serving in response. So here we have the present active subjunctive of the verb to serve, to worship, and to offer. And all three are acceptable. The Greek word, just to let you know, is the Greek word used of the Levitical priest before the altar performing official priesthood function. People, we should be performing official priesthood function. The present tense, we receive the kingdom of God. Therefore, let us respond with an attitude of continually offering up to God. And we'll see in a moment what we'd offer up to God. The active voice, we have to do this. Mental attitude, put into action in life. Subjunctive is the killer. Maybe we will, maybe we will not. In part, it's going to depend on being filled with the Spirit and led of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is so crucial to know how to be filled with the Spirit. By faith alone in the Holy Spirit. We're saved by faith alone. We're filled with the Spirit by faith alone. They're both a matter of salvation. So, whether or not this is a continual thing, and whether or not you're going to do it, subjunctive mood, it's going to be whether or not you're in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. So it says, by which we may, maybe we won't, maybe we will, offer to God. Now, this is the living God, the one true God, the God our Father. Living God, we've been studying on Sunday morning. He is the living God. Or excuse me, on Wednesday night. we may offer to God, this is the living God, the true God. Allah is not the true God. All these gods of the Hindus and all even the Mormons, all these, they're not the true God. The true God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, talked about in this book, and only in this book. Okay, we may offer to God. Now, what is it we may offer to God? Look what it says here, what we may offer to God. Yes, of course, we're to offer verbal thanks. That's in Ephesians chapter 5, so we covered that. But, as with spiritual love, look what it says now, there is service of gratitude, life of gratitude. You're grateful, now you offer to God an acceptable service, and we'll study that in a moment, and we'll have to find out what acceptable service is. But just to have fun, and I'm not sitting heavy on anybody, but tomorrow you're giving a turkey dinner or something, whatever it is. Thank you. Bye. Or, thank you, can I help clean up? Let me help you clean up here. Let me help you take care of the dirty dishes and the table and all that. See, that is thankful with service of gratitude. Service of gratitude. And this should be our characteristic of our life, but especially with God. A service of gratitude. Being grateful in word is one thing. Being grateful in deed and truth in the Holy Spirit is quite another thing. So, that service of gratitude must be, now look what it says. That service of gratitude must be an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Okay, what does that mean? An acceptable service with reverence and awe. We start off with the descriptive adverb meaning well-pleasing. Well-pleasing. So, the best way to translate this is in an acceptable manner. What does that mean? What does it mean in an acceptable manner? Now, whether or not something is acceptable depends on the person that you're doing it for. That's what it depends on. Let me just jump right to it. Two people can give, two people can pray, two people can sing, two people can witness, two people can do all these things. One is filled with the Spirit, one is not filled with the Spirit. This one is not acceptable to God. What do you mean? It's the same thing. They're both giving, they're both singing, they're both praying, they're both witnessing. What do you mean they're not the same? This one is not acceptable to God. Anything done in the flesh is not acceptable to God. So if you're going to offer to God an acceptable service, it's going to have to be one that is acceptable to Him, not what you want. I used to use the illustration, the husband goes out, puts in a $50,000 swimming pool for his wife, and says, wow, see there, look what I got you for your birthday. She says, you know I don't swim, and you know I can't lie in the sun. You got that for yourself. Well, you're ungrateful. No, it wasn't for her. It was for him. When you present an acceptable service, it has to be acceptable to God. Not what I think God wants. Oh, well, God wants me to give. God wants me to pray. God wants me to do this. God wants me to do that. That may be fine, but in what power? It has to be in truth. And that in truth is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether something is acceptable service or not depends on them. So, this is the whole principle we're looking at. We saw the problem right off in history. Where did we first learn this? Cain. Cain did not offer God rotten tomatoes. Cain did not offer to God, fruit that wasn't any good, really, or vegetables that were already losing their vibe. But no, they were the best. They were the very best. And he offered them to God. He took his very best fruit, his very best vegetable, the fruit of the land, and he said, here, God, I offer you my best. What did God do? I don't want it. Who's not right here? Is God not right? What's wrong with God? He won't accept Cain's gift. God is the one that's not right. No. He accepted Abel's, but not Cain's. Cain offered an acceptable service he thought, but it wasn't. It was the work of his own labor. And so Cain is under the curse that we're all under with, that works are not going to cut it. God said, curse on you, as the ground will never yield to you any fruit, any production. That's just like with us. We get no salvation for our own works. So we're all under the curse of Cain. But what I want you to see here is that right from the very beginning, we learn this principle. It isn't just doing something for God. It is doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is doing it in an acceptable manner to Him. We are to show gratitude by offering in an acceptable manner. Okay, what does this mean? Let me take you through five things that this means. Five things. One, we start off with Romans 15:1. I'm going to do this by passages. Look at Romans 15:1. What is an acceptable offering, an acceptable giving to God? What is an acceptable manner? Okay, point one, Romans 15:1. Let's take a look at it. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to his edification. So the first thing we want to learn is our service that is acceptable to God is not to please ourselves. And that's going to be tough. It pleases me to do this because you're going to be thankful to me and I'm going to get some credit for it and this is going to work out really good. And everybody's going to think I'm a great Christian. It's about you. It's not about God. So point one, service of gratitude is to please God, not ourselves. That means a whole lot. You're going to have to know God. You're going to have to know how to give Him these things and this type of thing. That brings us to point two. Point two is Galatians 1. Let's look at Galatians 1. Galatians 1:10. For I am not seeking the favor of men or of God. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Okay, second point. Our service of gratitude to please God, not others. The first one is to please ourselves, as opposed to pleasing God. The second one is not to please others, but please God. It's not about others, it's about God. It's not about ourselves, it's about God. That brings us to the third. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. This one's powerful. The first two points really deals with the things that we do. Motivation to please myself, please others. Look at Romans 8:8. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, right here is the beginning of service that is acceptable and is in an acceptable manner. If we do it in the flesh, it is not acceptable to God. You can thank Him. You can do wonderful works of gratitude. That you think, I'm responding to what God has done, I'm going to do all these things for God. If it's in the flesh, it is not pleasing to God. Period. It isn't going to be pleasing to God. It's just that simple. Not in the flesh. It has to be in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we come to the fourth principle. The first principle, not pleasing ourselves, but pleasing Him. Second principle, not pleasing others, but pleasing Him. Third principle, not in the flesh. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what your service is. If it's in the flesh, it is not acceptable to God. And point four, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you found Hebrews 12, you can find Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. It must be by faith. Not in what you do, but in a member of the Godhead. This is why people, so few, really understand how to be filled with the Spirit. There are a great number, a small number in the total number of people on earth, there are a small number of Christians who understand how to be saved before God, by faith alone, in Christ alone. But when it comes to walking with God in the power of the Holy Spirit, they lose it. They want to be filled with the Spirit by my doing something, and then they say, I trust him that if I do this, then he will fill me with the Spirit. People, where would you say if I told you that to be saved? That's works. Well, then why isn't it works over here? What he's looking for is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation. Faith in the Holy Spirit for spirituality. John chapter 6, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one that he sent. He sent his Son for salvation. He sent his Spirit for spirituality. It's by faith. And therefore, the fourth point, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. And he guides in our service of gratitude. And then that brings us to the fifth one, Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians 1:10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, in our passage it said acceptable. This says worthy of the Lord. And what's worthy of the Lord? Same thing we just went through. Not of the flesh, but of the faith in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him. Not ourselves and not others. To please him in all respects. Bearing fruit in every good work. How is that done? By the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We saw that in John chapter 15 and 16. Good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, people, the church of Ephesus in Romans, in Revelation chapter 2, it was doing great, a lot of things. It was doing great things. But what happened to them? They lost their love of the knowledge of God. They lost their love of Jesus Christ. Oh, they were doing great things for him. What do you mean we don't love him? We're doing all these things for him. Look at the buildings we build. Look at this we do. Look at this we do and all that. No, no. You don't want to know him. A relationship with the Lord is by knowledge. And the more we learn of him, the more we know how to offer him acceptable service. The more we learn of somebody, the more we know what is acceptable service. You've got to learn these things. They don't just come. You learn them over time and over time. I've been married now going on 4 years. I'm still learning. I used to think, boy, giving flowers and candy was the cat's meow. I got a wife that doesn't like candy or flowers. Well, candy a little bit. But flowers just doesn't impress her. Used to impress my mom. Bring her flowers. I can get away with anything. But not, so you learn. And we learn about him from his word. And we grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, as Peter says. And we keep growing in it. And the more we learn about him, the Father and the Son, the more we're able to offer them acceptable service. Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Okay, these are two interesting words. We don't have time to really develop them. Awe is a respect of him to such a point you want to learn more and more and more about him. Reverence toward him is that he has the highest place of honor, and showing acceptable service to him is the priority of our life. But what I wanted you to see tonight, this Thanksgiving Eve, is that the two types of Thanksgiving we can offer, by tongue and word, or we can offer it by deed and truth. and by deed and truth is those services that are acceptable to Him. We have to know Him, know what is acceptable to Him, and be led of the Holy Spirit. People, I can't give you a list. I like preachers that try to give you a list on, well, how you do the 1 Corinthians 13, spiritual love. Love is kind. Okay, this week we're going to work on kind. Now, here's what it means to be kind. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be in your life, even after church tonight. I don't know. That's why we trust the Holy Spirit. The only time I know what is acceptable service or what is kindness, what is the things that are described in 1 Corinthians 13 about love, when I'm on this side, I turn around and go, oh, that's what it looked like in this circumstance. But I can't take that and try to make it apply tomorrow on another one. It's going to change. And that's the dynamics of the Spirit-filled life. That's the dynamics. We cannot sit down a bunch of rules. This is what you do to do acceptable service. This is what, no, can't do that. I don't know what it's going to be in your life tomorrow. And all the things that you may do or the nothing that you may do tomorrow. And the night. And the next day. And the next day. That's why we have to be filled with the Spirit. And deed and truth. Truth is in the Holy Spirit. Not a lie. Not what I want to do. Now, God should be wanting, God would want this. This is what God would. No, I don't know. The Holy Spirit will guide in what He wants. And how He wants me to give it. And this is, but I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for a kingdom that we have that's eternal. An eternal kingdom with Jesus Christ as a king priest. The kingdom of God. Boy, that I'm thankful for that, Father. And I want to show by a gratitude, as a service of gratitude, that my thanksgiving will be in action as well as in word. Well, I hope you all have a wonderful day tomorrow, and let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed at the God that You are. You've got so many things, so many wonderful things for us, that even the mind of man cannot even imagine. Your gifts are greater than our desires. Your gifts are greater than our imagination. We just praise You, Father. And I pray, Father, that as we continue to grow, we'll just more and more become so aware that what You've given is what we need, not what we wanted. Father, I pray these things now that You'll take these things we've seen tonight, let them settle in our souls and then in our lives, in our relationship with one another. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.